Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. To read this evening from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 7. Many of you will know the verse without having it shown up top here. Matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaiva matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva mataha. Beyond me, parataram, superior, na, not, anyat kinchit, anything else, asti, there is, dhananjaya, O conqueror of wealth, mayi, in me, sarvam, all that be, idam, which we see, protam, is strung, sutre, on a thread, manigana, pearls, iva, like. Translation, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting upon me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. There's a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person, that the personality of Godhead is the Supreme Absolute Truth, is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. Stop there. That is, the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, 3.10, Tato yad uttarataram tad arupam anamayam ya etat vidur amritaste bhavati bhavanti atetare dukam eva priyati. Translation, in this material world, Brahma, the primeval living being within the universe, is understood to be the supreme amongst the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence who has no material form, and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. Paragraph. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam, but this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Sri Trishvatara Upanishad 3, 8, and 9 substantiate this as follows. Vedaham etam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasak parastat tam eva viditvati mrityumeti nanyat panta vidyate yanaya yasmat param na param asti kinchit yasman naniyo na jayatosmi kinchit riksha eva stabdho divi tishtatyekas tene dam purnam purushena sarvam. In case you don't know what that means, here's the translation. Quote, I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness. Only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person. This is still, quote, a translation of the Sri Trishvatara Upanishad verse. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illumines the transcendental sky. And as a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. Unquote. From this verse, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. This is a verse from chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita is knowledge of the Absolute. Krishna has promised at the beginning, just a few verses before, beginning of the chapter, that he's going to describe or explain to Arjuna how it is that one can fix one's mind upon him in the topmost stage or form of yoga. Shradhavan bhajate yomam sameyukta uttama mataha. Krishna declares that the topmost form of yoga is to fix one's mind upon him in a mood of devotion. And then he's here going to explain how that's to be done. Later in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that fixing one's mind upon the impersonal feature, the unmanifest, the avyakta, it's very difficult for those who are embodied. And that's, except for ghosts, that's everybody. We're all embodied. Because we're embodied, it's natural to think of existence as having form. or say it in the converse, it's to think of with one's mind fixed upon something that has no form, has no qualities, has no personality, has no identity. And to fix your mind on that, even to think of it for a moment, it's very perplexing. How do you even think such a thought? Krishna declares it's very difficult. Rather, however, fixing one's mind upon the spiritual form, of the personality of Godhead is quite natural. In fact, because there's spiritual form, we find in the reflected region, this material world, there is form. The logic is, if there's whatever it is that comes from the absolute truth, must exist in the absolute truth. Is that pretty reasonable? Whatever comes from the absolute truth must exist in the absolute truth. Pretty reasonable. So, since this, the created realm, comes from the absolute truth, and here we find form and qualities and personality, should we conclude that which exists here has no existence in the source of emanation? Reasonable? That which exists here does not exist in the source of emanation. That means this is greater than the source of emanation. That's not reasonable. So the distinction is, here is temporary and there is eternal. Here there's temporary form, temporary relationships, temporary, everything's temporary. Whatever you can think of, it's temporary. But because it exists here, it must exist in the source. But in the pure form, in the eternal condition. One can go on talking about the personal and impersonal feature for a long time, because Prabhupada has trained us so thoroughly in this subject matter. For example, it just won't go on too long, but for example, it's mentioned in the purport by reference to the Shvetashvatara Upanishad verse that the Absolute has unlimited potencies. Now that's a very common understanding in all religions. The Almighty, God is referred to as the Almighty. And so there's the person that has the might, the Almighty, and then there's the might, the Shakti, and Shaktiman. But impersonalists they don't like that. They would say, you can't have Shakti and Shaktiman, you can't have energy and energetic, because that means you have two. But you can't have two, because all there is one, so you can't have energy. Wow. They just neutered God. He's impotent. Before he was omnipotent, now he's impotent. Just by the wave of their magic wand and the speculative magic wand that says everything must be one and therefore you can't have potencies. I'm sorry, Mr. Impersonalist, but the scripture says, Parashya Shaktir Vividaya Vishruyate Subhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The Upanishads say the Absolute Truth has unlimited potencies. And here, Shvetashvatara Upanishad is similarly saying, the Lord has so many potencies. There's the potent and there's the potencies. And there's varieties of potencies. There's spiritual potencies. There's material potencies. There's marginal potencies. That's the living entities. We're in this marginal position. And all those potencies rest within the Supreme. In fact, that's what the verse says. Matak parataran nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. Mai sarvamidam protam sutre maniganayava. Just like there are pearls resting on a thread, making a necklace, so also there are so many potencies resting upon the potent. Krishna is the rest, the basis and support, the pratishtha of everything, because he's the source of everything. Prabhupada said it this way, very simply. There's only two things, and there's not a third thing. The two things are, there's Krishna, and there's Krishnas, and there's not a third thing. Really simple. You don't have to be a PhD just to get that one together. Krishna and Krishnas, and there's not a third thing. Meaning, he said specifically, there's no void in the creation of God. Because Buddhists, they wish to enter into the void, nirvana, make everything zero. And the reason they want to make everything zero is they're frustrated, or to some degree they see that this existence is an illusory existence. To some degree they understand that. At least, for sure, it's a source of misery. And so I don't like misery. So I'll enter into the void. Merge with nothingness. Very, very attractive, right? Merge with nothingness. Because I'm so unhappy being involved in the miseries and complexities of material life, I wish to merge into nothingness. But there's no such thing as nothingness. There's God, and there's gods, or Krishna and Krishnas, and there's no void, even in the creation of God. Even that which is called, what's the term that the scientists use? A vacuum. What's a vacuum by definition? There's nothing. And we learned it in eighth grade science class. At least I learned it. Our science teacher put a bell jar on the desk. And, you know, it's really thick glass. This is what you call a bell jar. Sealed it to the table so no air could get in. And then hooked up a vacuum pump and pumped everything out. You know, all the air, all the water, liquids, solids, and gases. Everything out. So what's left? Nothing. Except he didn't know the Vedic science that says there is something. And that's Akash. So what does Akash mean? One way to say what Akash is it's space. One way to think of space is between this place and that place, point A and point B, or the inside of the bell jar on this side, the inside of the bell jar on that side, there's some space. But it's not just a measurement of however many millimeters or inches or whatever. It's an energy. It's one of the Lord's elements. It's Akash. And within space, sound is carried. And because space is the most subtle element, sound is carried through water, liquid, solid, and gas, as well as space. Because space is the subtle element within which these other elements rest, and sound is carried in space. And they use that principle all the time. Like, you know, your cell phone. The little signal sent, and it goes to a satellite in space. And it bounces back. I don't know that much about cell technology, but that's what I understand it does. Shh. Thank you. So, even void, void is a condition where there's nothing. If there were such a thing, it would come from Krishna. There is space, and it comes from Krishna. It's one of Krishna's energies. And everything else is also matter and spirit, and the marginal energy, it's all Krishna's energies. And then there's Krishna. And there's not a third thing. So if in that which comes from Krishna there is personality and form and quality, there must be personality, form, and quality within the source of emanation. But in a different feature, because here things are temporary and there things are eternal. Here things are perverted and there things are pure. Here everything is dependent, and in the spiritual world, Krishna is uniquely the only independent entity, and everything else is dependent upon the supreme independent entity. So there's differences between the form, because the message that's being referred to in the purport, Prabhupada writes, the impersonalist like this form, arupam, or nirguna, as another one, nirguna Brahman. You're familiar with that term, right? Brahman that has no guna, material quality. And Brahman doesn't have any material quality. The impersonal Brahman has no material quality. Paramatma has no material quality. Bhagavan has no material quality. Here there's material quality, because the material quality is material. It's in forgetfulness of the personality of Godhead. And therefore the modes of nature prevail. Good dispassion and ignorance. In the spiritual world, the modes of nature are conspicuous by their absence. There's no modes of nature. There's no material form. But there's spiritual form. The spiritual form is distinguished from material form in that spiritual form is eternal and material form is temporary. To say that material form is not eternal doesn't mean there's no eternal form. Negation of one thing doesn't mean negation of all things. There's spiritual form. That's eternal. And Krishna has spiritual form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just a little discussion. Between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda Saraswati, he was visiting in Benares, and it was a headquarters of thousands of Mayavadi sannyasis, real strong group. And they had a chief sannyasi who was accepted by all of them as most learned and, you know, up there, the best amongst them. He and Lord Chaitanya had a discussion. And in the course of the discussion, Lord Chaitanya was explaining the merit of chanting Krishna's holy name. The sannyasi was asking Lord Chaitanya, why do you do things that sannyasis aren't supposed to do? You're carrying on with worldly people. And you're having parties with them. You're singing and you're dancing and you're carrying on like you're a worldly person, but you're a sannyasi. You sannyasis don't do those things. Why are you not instead studying Vedanta Sutra? This is something sannyasis are supposed to do. And Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual master instructed me, saying, you're a first-class fool. You don't have the capacity to understand and study Vedanta Sutra. So you should just chant Hare Krishna. So I chant Hare Krishna. I follow the instruction of my spiritual master. In the course of doing so, very unusual things start to happen. My body starts to tremble and tears come from my eyes and my hair stand on end and I don't know what's going on. So I went and asked my spiritual master, am I doing something wrong? And he said, no, this is... And then he quoted a verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam saying, this is a symptom of one who's at the topmost stage of spiritual perfection. Continue, you're doing very nicely. And through the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, one's heart becomes purified. And as one's heart becomes purified, then one has the capacity to understand the truths within the Vedas. And he then explained that the Srimad Bhagavatam presents a very clear explanation of the message of the Vedas. It's directly a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is the essence of all the Vedas, by the author himself explaining Vedanta Sutra. Many people have difficulty understanding Vedanta Sutra, but it's explained very clearly by the author himself. And then he explained, we'll be discussing this a little bit over the weekend, but he explained that there are two main, anything can be understood based upon two primary types of characteristics, personal characteristics and marginal characteristics. And he said the form, the character, and the quality of something are the primary characteristics. And the activities are the marginal characteristics. So, because the Srimad Bhagavatam in detail presents the form and the quality and the identity of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, this is all disclosed within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that if one simply regularly hears the Srimad Bhagavatam and chants the holy name, then their path of liberation is wide open. Just hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were further points that he was making, but Prakashananda Saraswati became convinced, and the associates of Chaitanya of Prakashananda Saraswati became convinced. They heard that one of them heard it, one Brahmana heard that in his conversation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained the Atmarama verse in 61 different ways. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can you say it again? 61 different ways. He made it 64 different ways. And hearing his explanation of the Atmaram verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, the sannyasis in the assembly, they were saying, he's right. And the explanations that we've received from Shankaracharya, they sound good, but they're just speculative. They're not satisfying and they're not conclusive. But this explanation that we're hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's very, very clear. It's right. We accept it. And Prakashananda Saraswati also accepted it. Like that. That's pretty rare. Because he was pretty hardcore. But in Lord Chaitanya's association, he was happy to accept this proper conclusion. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada is presenting that within this verse, Matak Parataram Nanyat, Kinchit Asti Dananjaya. It's indicating the rest and support of the opulences of the personality of Godhead, or the potencies of the personality of Godhead, which very clearly means there's two. There's the potent and the potency. The person who has the potency and the potency. Shakti and Shaktiman. And Krishna's indication is, whatever there is that's beautiful and opulent and attractive in this world, I am the basis and support of that. Just like here's a garland, nice, beautiful flowers, strung together on a thread. You can't see the thread because the flowers are covering the thread. But there must be a thread, otherwise it would be just a pile of flowers, not a garland. There is a thread, and the thread is holding the garland together. So similarly, exactly using the same example, manigana, that the pearls are strung on a thread, and that just as pearls are strung on a thread or the garland is strung on a thread, all things are resting upon Krishna, and therefore they appear however they appear. They appear beautiful, or they appear something else. Krishna is fully independent, and all things are fully dependent upon the fully independent. Their very existence is dependent. Even ourselves, not just the body, we're dependent. Prabhupada would often give so many examples to indicate how can somebody claim they're independent. Can you avoid death? Can you avoid breathing? Or take any common something. Why is it that we're born in the body of a human form and not some other form? Or within the human form, why here instead of there, and why this circumstance instead of... Can anyone say that they're independent? It's foolish. Declaring my independence, the whole nation is built upon the Declaration of Independence. And who is independent? We're all dependent, except for one. And all are dependent upon the one. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. The one is maintaining the many, whatever their necessities are. Whatever it is that we have, we're dependent. One thing you don't have a problem with here in Washington is rain. No shortage. But there's some places they have shortage. Just before coming here, I was in Arizona, and everything is dry. They have water shortage. So they ration water. Anyway, we're dependent. And there's one who is independent upon whom all others are dependent. And one cannot, later on in the 10th chapter, Krishna is explaining, no one can know that something unless there's disclosure. It's really very simple logic. Krishna says, nobody knows what existed before they existed. Very logical. You can say, perhaps maybe, or inductively, it could have been this, or a little more boldly, it was this, or even more boldly, it must have been this. And that's a bluff, because they don't know. And you can't know. And Krishna therefore says, nobody knows me. the great sages and the demigods and the rishis, and because I existed before they existed, so they can't know me. They can't know what existed before they existed unless I disclose it. And now I'm going to disclose it. And he says basically the same thing as this verse in the 7th chapter. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samanvita. We can't know the absolute truth. We can't know the cause of our existence without disclosure from the cause of our existence, because it existed before we existed. But one can know through disclosure. Therefore, we're dependent upon the Vedas, or the source of knowledge of truth with a capital T, or reality with a capital R, or God, the supreme reality. So therefore, in the pages of Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada is writing in the purport, at every step, Krishna is indicating his position to Arjuna, both the means to understand him and the realization of who he is, the fruit of that process of realization. He's the absolute supreme personality of Godhead. And that supreme, ultimately, is a person. There's an impersonal feature, and the impersonal feature rests upon the person. He states that in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The impersonal feature has as its basis of support, or its foundation, the personal feature of the absolute truth. Krishna is the cause of all causes, the absolute truth. And what do you do when you know that? Iti matva pajante mam. You engage in his devotional service. And the process of devotional service is also presented very nicely in Bhagavad Gita, and the same topic we're going to be discussing this weekend. Looking forward to diving into the Srimad Bhagavatam's way of presenting. The reason I picked this verse, 7:7 in Bhagavad Gita, is because it's the undergraduate version of the graduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's saying the same thing in a very simple manner. And then the Bhagavatam is going to say the same thing in a far more complete, profound, and comprehensive manner. Prabhupada gives this example like a pocket dictionary and the unabridged Oxford, Cambridge, collegiate dictionary. In the pocket dictionary, the words aren't different. The meanings are not different. But in the more complete dictionary, the same meanings are there, and additional meanings are also there for each of the words, for the refinements and detailed explanations or understandings. Just like 2 plus 2 is 4, no matter what level of math you're in. Abstract mathematics, it's 2 plus 2 is 4. So the principles that are presented in Bhagavad Gita similarly are presented in more elaborate form in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's what we'll be discussing over the weekend, or the holiday. It's holiday already. Were the roads really packed coming to the temple? I drove from Portland, and instead of taking 3 hours, it took 5.5 hours. A lot of people are going somewhere. It started at noon. It's like half day, whatever, and holiday. So, hope some of you will be able to take part in the discussion. this weekend on the invocation verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're very, very substantial. Okay, any discussion or questions? Look at that, right behind you.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I have a question about, you mentioned that the form and quality and personality are eternal and the karma is temporary. Is it possible that the form, quality and personality of us be separated from each other? I'm referring to the fact that our spiritual form is in a spiritual world now.
I didn't understand your question at all.
We have a spiritual form that's not us, right?
We have a spiritual form that's not us.
We have a spiritual identity that's not disclosed to us.
I don't know what you're saying. We have a material body, but we are a spirit soul. You're speaking of us, right? And that spiritual soul in its mature stage has spiritual form, and that's who we are. Did I say something other before?
Is it true that we have a spiritual form?
No. It's true that we are a spiritual form. I'm making the distinction because in the embodied state, we have a body, just like, you know, you have a jacket and a shirt. So we have a material body. But the spiritual form is something that we are. So therefore I'm using a different verb.
The spiritual form that has rasa with Krishna in the spiritual stock. Right.
Well, it doesn't have to be in a... You don't have to wait. you can have loving exchange with Krishna here. And it transpires on the spiritual plane with the spiritual form of the living entity. But go ahead. I'm just editing a little bit because your questions are a little misleading. Just the frame of them are in themselves misleading. So I'm editing. But you still want to ask a question, so go right ahead.
I've heard that we have never fallen down.
We've never fallen down. This is very interesting question-answer session. I've heard otherwise. Is Sammamish the spiritual world? Kind of disappointing. This is the illusory potency. And the souls that are in contact with the illusory potency in the mood of trying to be the enjoyers of the illusory potency have fallen down. Okay, I excuse my editing of your questions before you even ask the question, but... Someone else want to try? I've discouraged everybody after this exchange. Okay, class is over. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.